Ever wish you could get more from your podcast? Well, you can with BuzzFeed Daily, hosted by me, Casey Rackham.
And me, Zach Safford. On our show, we've got more good news and more pop culture.
More memes and more celebrity tea.
More of everything that's blowing up your timeline and trending on the internet.
Every weekday evening, we're giving you more of what you need to enjoy your day. Because what's life if it isn't to be enjoyed?
Listen to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, what's up? It's Jess Hilarious, and I'm just making sure y'all know that I got a podcast called Carefully Reckless on Black Effect Network. That's where I tell all my business that y'all already know and carefully comment on other people's business, too. It's respectable but messy at the same time, so make sure you tune in. Listen to Carefully Reckless every Wednesday, that's hump day, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit seriously.
Hey, yo, yo, yo. Mic check 1, 2. Episode 117. 117?
117.
Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we back in the building. How you been, Josh?
I'm good, man. Boston sucks.
Fuck out of here, Boston Celtics.
I'm good, man. I'm rocking.
Yeah, we don't rock with y'all. Sixers, Celtics, long-standing rivalry.
Yes.
When I was a kid, we ain't fuck with Boston.
Yeah, nah.
Bird? We ain't fuck with Bird. We was young boys.
Nah, fuck Bird.
We knew... We didn't know, but we knew there was some racism in
Yeah, definitely.
They had Bird, McHale, Danny Ainge. We knew something wasn't right. Bill Walton, they brought Bill Walton out of the grave to play for the Celtics. We knew it was some, am I bugging Bill Walton? He played for the Celtics?
Yeah, definitely.
We knew it was some bullshit even when we was kids with Boston.
Utah's best players was white. You know what I mean? Nah, yo, what you call it like that now? Dallas got two best players is white boys.
Dallas, Mark Cuban is definitely trying to create a European super soldier basketball organization over there.
There's rumors that they want Kevin Love.
Really? Is that a thing?
Yeah,
Mark Cuban just want all white boys.
White dude,
wow. Not cool, bro. not fucking cool. I didn't watch the Sixers game last night, but the Sixers beat the Boston Celtics, and my man Embiid got hurt.
He got hurt the last game.
Oh, so he got hurt the game before. Yeah. Okay. I'm bugging. I thought he got hurt in this game.
No, I was getting a water. No, he fucked his finger up.
You know what?
His joint was looking like it was... Yeah, it was on the other hand and shit.
shit was in his pocket.
Yeah,
I saw that on Twitter, but I scrolled past it real fast because I'm weird about fingers. Yeah,
I don't like seeing no injury shit, though. I'll be honest with you.
I can watch you break your leg. I don't want to. I'm not a sociopath. I don't want to look at it.
I'm one of those people when I see it, that part of my body hurts.
You feel it,
yeah. So I'm not. Yeah. That's not a thing I like. When the ball. Just a few years ago when Bull's whole shin bone came out his leg in the NCAA tournament.
Ooh, yeah,
there was blood all everywhere.
Right.
I know people was like, yo, I'm running that back and forth. I'm like, no, I don't want to see that.
You're a psychopath.
Yeah.
You sit and watch that on repeat. Remember Paul George?
Yeah.
Broke his shit.
I've never seen that injury all the way through. I seen him land and I was like, I don't need to see it.
Yep.
I'm good.
God damn.
Because I remember when, I think it was Napoleon Kaufman did that shit on Monday Night Football, and my man knee bent backwards.
Ooh, shit.
And I was just wow. I don't ever need to see, I was a kid, I was just I don't ever need to see injuries again. I'm good.
I remember when Bo Jackson hurt his shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it didn't even look like nothing.
Nah.
Fuck that.
But yeah, he fucked his hand up the other night. And they just taped their shit to another finger and was go ahead out there.
Go ahead out there, young boy. You all right?
But turns out he tore a ligament in his hand.
Fuck, his shit he was throwing up West Side.
Yeah.
Shit was all fucked up.
He definitely did, though. That's exactly what it looked like. His shit was crossing over each other.
Damn.
Dude was making gang signs and shit.
Right. Fuck.
But yeah, he tore a ligament in his hand, so he's they're saying like he'll be reevaluated. He had surgery, 7 surgeries today, and he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks.
Jeez.
So
that's so rough.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah, so he won't be back for a minute. They were saying like Reggie Miller had the same injury. He was out for like 2 months.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah, and the fear with Embiid is when he's hurt and sits out for a while, he gets fat.
Yeah, yeah, he gained that weight.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ron, who's like so deeply offended by Embiid being fat. Ron not skinny, is he? Like, he's not like a small dude, is he?
I think he's in better shape than like last time I saw him. He was chunkier, but like he's gotten better shape. He's been in a gym heavy and shit like that.
I love Ron. He got chubby energy.
Yeah, yeah.
For him to go as hard as he do at Embiid, he got like a chubby energy.
Yeah.
For you to be grinding my man Embiid up.
But yeah, he definitely gets like he finds the best places to eat.
Yo.
And like engorges himself and shit like that.
I would, dog.
Dude, listen,
you
man.
Rich? You rich and hungry? Yeah. Shit.
Honestly, though, like, he honestly could just get a private chef. I mean, he got, right. like, that max deal, so, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Get yourself a private
just
chef.
Just have a motherfucker to cook for you.
Yeah, get yourself a private chef.
If Suge Knight had a private chef,
yeah,
Joel Embiid could have one.
I think a large part of it, too, is, like, he's still, I think he's only, like, 25.
Yeah.
He's still kind of, like, the kiddie energy.
Yeah,
so, like, you know, his metabolism, I think, is probably slowing down. And he's still like, I can eat Snickers all day.
Eat what
like,
I want,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, I think that's the wave.
That shit right there, the metabolism game, that's a rude awakening if you're not ready for it.
Dog, literally,
I'm still fucked up.
I think my son, like, honestly, he subsides. He's like, he exists, on Gushers.
Really? Dog, the candies?
Yeah. If you buy a box of Gushers, that is the only thing he eats.
What?
Yeah.
No, like, savory food.
He'll eat a whole, like, there's like 6 or 8 packages in there.
Right.
If you put a box up there for the day, like you went to the market. Like I went to the market the other day.
Yeah.
Put a box up there, it's gone within like a couple hours.
Fuck.
He eats the whole box.
Yeah.
And if you like just keep putting boxes, you buy a couple of them, he'll just keep eating.
Wow.
Like, they're hidden in the crib because, like, he'll just eat them and eat them and eat them and eat them.
Fuck.
But he doesn't eat a lot of junk, though. Like, as far as that, but he's not like he goes, like, dog, I bought, like, Oreo cookies. Because, like, he'll eat Oreo cookies or whatever sometimes. And you sit there, he won't eat them.
Really?
Just sit.
But the
sit,
Gushers
sit.
Are, like...
Like, certain shit sits forever, yo.
What?
He won't touch it. Like, his mom be sending me cereal for him.
Right.
There's 3 boxes of it in the closet because he hasn't touched the other one that's out there. It just he like, and then every once in a while he'll just be like, "Man, ain't no milk in here. I wanted some cereal."
Right.
And it's like, fam, you haven't touched it in 2 weeks. Like,
right.
Who knew that the milk, like, milk doesn't stay. Like, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
And nobody, like, I don't drink milk. Like,
right.
If I drink milk, it's lactate, and I barely drink that.
Right.
So, like, and he refuses to drink lactate. So, like. Because it's a, like, the box is a different, like, the carton is a different color than
yeah.
milk.
He's not fucking with it.
No,
yeah.
He's just like, well, no, it tastes different. I'm like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, tastes just like milk, man. Like,
right.
But he, so it's like, well, that, if that's in the house, I won't eat it.
Jeez.
Like, he
so you think that's Embiid's problem?
He's yeah, like, I think Embiid still has,
he's
like,
he's still wrestling with the metabolism
yeah, I think
slash
that's it.
Appetite thing.
I wonder if that's it, where he's just like, well, I can still, like, eat all the sugar in the world.
Right.
It doesn't realize, like, yeah, well, the sugar will fucking plump you up faster than you know.
Sugar's the devil, yo.
Yeah.
Sugar's a fucking devil.
Yeah.
I'll wake up in the middle of the night just, like, hungry, and, like, my spirit is telling me, like, yo, go, like, eat a cookie.
Yeah.
But it's, like, 3 a.m. I don't need to eat a cookie, you know what I mean? And I have to have a very real conversation with myself at, like, the edge of the bed. Remember New Jack City?
Where, you just sit there?
With Pookie.
Holding the pipe.
Pookie was holding the pipe and shit. Dog, like, but with cookies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That shit
That's
is,
real.
Like, it's thoroughly addictive.
Sure, I mean, like, they design food to, like, trigger those reactions in your brain.
Like, to dopamine and
yeah.
shit. Yeah. So maybe that's why Joel Embiid can't lose weight.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, like, you know, he's only been in this country like the 9 years? Not even. I don't even know if it's 9 years.
He eating like American cookies.
Yeah.
Whole different game.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah. So he's a, I think that's a part of the problem. I do think like, and like definitely if your metabolism slows down, you don't burn that sugar off at all.
Oh.
So, you know, you have to be working. And if he's like, well, I can't. See, the only good thing is it's his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Which means there's no restrictions on how much fucking cardio you can get in.
Right.
Like, it's not like you can't with your knee, you know, your knee's fucked up and you can't be on the treadmill, blah, blah, blah. There's no excuse why he isn't on the treadmill all the time, why he isn't running the courts and doing all the extra shit except for like catching a ball or like lifting because you can't wrap your hand.
Right.
Like, you legit can do everything else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so the hope is that, like, if he's out that long, he's staying up. Like, but again, that falls on the Sixers too. Mm-hmm. Like, they gotta be on him for that shit.
Yeah. You gotta have a motherfucker like Popovich wouldn't let you just rock out.
No.
Like, oh man, I'm just fat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, nah, that nigga, like, he looked like he would like say some greasy shit to you and make you get your act in order.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Definitely. Yo, real quick, dog, I got fucking I switched like internet providers and shit like that, and like cable providers.
Okay.
At the crib, I got rid of Xfinity. Fuck Xfinity. Unless you're gonna pay us, fuck Xfinity.
You know we can't do that anymore. Yeah, like, yo, fuck this company. Unless,
no, but I switched to Verizon.
Okay.
For their internet and for my mom refuses to get rid of cable, so she wants to make sure she had to get cable and shit.
Right.
And so she's like, they came and they installed it yesterday. And of course, like, so they installed the new internet router. So like, we had to switch over our phones,
right?
The Fire Sticks, everything. So all the internet and her laptop, everything had to be switched over. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, oh man, like, can you do my phone for me, bro? Like, she's panicking.
Yeah.
Of being like, well, my phone's not on the Wi-Fi. Can you get my phone back on the Wi-Fi? I'm like,
technology's scary.
Dog. And but then she was like, she's calling me, I'm in the other room, and like, I had physical therapy yesterday and I did some running, so I was like, I was sitting on the sofa like trying to catch a little bit of a nap.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I don't know what's gonna happen if I turn off the cable to go to the Fire Stick. Am I gonna be able to go back to the cable? I'm like,
oh shit,
it was the same thing it was when it was Xfinity. All you had to do is
she don't
switch.
Know
like,
she don't know.
And then she like switches to the Fire Stick, and she hadn't put the Fire Stick, like I hadn't put it on to switch it in her room, and she hadn't done it yet. So like, she got on there and it was like, it couldn't do anything. It was like, you can't go home right now. You have to put it back on the internet. And she was just like, well, I don't know what I'm doing.
Freaking out.
And I'm like, mom, just go onto the joint and pick the Wi-Fi. You know what our Wi-Fi thing is. I told you what the Wi-Fi is.
Right.
So like, click on that and just put the password in. I told you what the password is. She's just like, well, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. So can you just come and do it? I'm
just
like,
do it. That's like, she gave birth to you.
Yeah,
just go
like, I mean, I guess I can't say no, but it's just like, I can't. I mean, I don't know. I'm afraid. See, this is part of it, though, I think, is I'm afraid when I get to that point where I got to have my kids start doing, like, whatever new, like, technology
new
shit is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm we're going to get to that point.
Oh, hell yeah. There's already shit. I ain't going to say what. There's shit out here that I don't understand that I play like I understand.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to, like, there's going to reach a point. And there is some, like, technology shit where I'm just like, I don't know about
what
this.
The fuck this shit
so,
is.
Honestly, but like, for me, TV's still magic. Like, I don't know how, like, I don't know how still.
The people in the box.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, I definitely thought, like, when I was a kid, like, there was people inside the TV.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so now, like, I'm definitely on some shit where I'm like, I don't know how it works. There's TV's a flat. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, where,
no, where they live. You know what I mean? So I don't like that shit is magic to me. So like, don't get me started on the internet. Like,
let me ask you: should I feel like a bad son because I don't usher my mom into?
But she has no interest.
I feel like she would though if I hung out at my mom's crib for like a day and like showed her new technological shit. Like, maybe she wouldn't be interested in it, but part of me feels like
maybe
she
would. especially with like maybe a social media where she could get exposed to like a place like Instagram where she could see a bunch of different shit. Like right. I wouldn't say put your mom on Twitter. Like, you know what I mean?
Y'all motherfuckers is animals on Twitter, and I don't want my mom exposed to that. Yeah. So, no, not at all.
So I would, like, avoid that, but, yeah. like, on like, an Instagram where she could follow, like, all these different, like, she could find, like, a bunch of vegan recipe shit on there.
That is true.
Like, shout out to Rhythm. Rhythm, like, be hitting me with the vegan shit all the time.
Word.
So, like, there's, like, I definitely think there's, like, places where, like, your mom might actually be like, oh, that's fun. But does she have a... Does she have a smartphone?
She does have a smartphone.
Okay.
And...
Because I'm trying to remember in my head, have I seen her use a smartphone or use like... she just like had like an old flip.
My mom out here selling dope with the Nokia flip.
Because no bullshit, my kid's other grandma, like my kid's mom's mom, yeah. She had a flip up until very recently.
Oh, shit.
Like, wow. Just, like, in the last, like, year or two, they transitioned her to a... but she doesn't know how to text.
Right.
She doesn't go on the internet. So she has no interest. Like, she's legit has no interest in doing it.
My mom, in the past few years, has learned how to text. And she texts me... She probably texts me, like actual... Because, like, the people I communicate with on a day-to-day basis, it's like you... Lissa, my mom, my brother, you know yeah. what I mean? My mom and y'all all hit me up through social media. Like, my brother will hit me through, like, Instagram, or you'll hit me.
Yeah, I hit you on Messenger. I've told people, like, when they've like, yo, I wanted to reach out to John for something, like, hit him on Messenger.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, way easier
I'm
to
there,
get him.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I might not have my phone on me, but I'm on my laptop.
We are together several hours every week.
Right.
And... I barely see you on your phone. You're always on your laptop.
Right.
You know what I mean? But that's how you live because you're writing and
shit
like that.
The whole time we were sitting here, like we talked maybe like 2 hours before mm-hmm. we started recording today.
We didn't even watch TV like we normally do for hours.
We normally just sit and watch like a movie or some shit. But we were just talking and I was on my laptop doing
shit the whole time.
The whole time. My mom, she's the only person, she's probably the person that texts me. Like actual, was it SMS? Like the text.
Yes, yeah. Joint.
She texts me the most out of anybody, which a few years ago, she didn't text at all.
Really?
And she was resistant to it. But I think partially, you know, like me being busier and being less, I think she texts because of me, or at least partially because of me. And then the whole thing with me being sick, you know, a couple years ago. I think she was like, all right, I have to, like, keep up with this motherfucker. So, you know
yeah, she
I mean?
Probably hit mom mode. Because, you know, you've been living out on your own for a long time now.
Yeah, yeah.
When you got sick, she probably hit mom mode. Like, he doesn't know how to take care of himself. Like, right. You know what I mean?
I'm sure my mom knows that, like, I'm not, like, a real adult. To this day, it's funny. She will, like, make, like, a thing of soup. And like cornbread. She did this like not too long ago, like when the weather like first broke.
Yeah.
She made a big thing of soup and cornbread and called me and was like, meet me at, you know, Broughton Snyder. You know what I'm saying? And I meet her there and she's
got like a pot of fucking soup.
A literal pot of soup. And she's like, all right, this for you and Liz. Is I'll see you later. And she rolled out.
She literally called a train to give you soup.
Right. So, because I know.
She didn't even make you come get it. She legit was just
brought
like,
it down.
I'm going to bring it to him. Because if I wait for him to come get it, it's going to be bad by the time he came up here to come get it.
She knows me well.
Yeah.
She knows me well. And I think it is, like you said, it's like mom mode. And I think also, I'm not the most mature person. I'm trying to get there. But I think she knows, like you got kids, you know your kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think part of it is like, okay, he's not gonna, you know, call me all the time, so I'm gonna text him.
Yeah.
So she'll just be like texting me, hey, I was thinking about you, or did you see this, or blah, blah, blah. We just be like busting it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I try to make, because I'm not like a phone talker, so I try to meet her with that and like call her, you mm-hmm. know what I mean, and talk on the phone. So we kind of do like a give and take, it feels yeah. like.
Yeah, I stop in, like, I'll go into my mom's room every once in a while and sit and talk to her for, like, 20, 30 minutes just because I know she likes that, likes to sit and talk with me.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not going to sit and call and talk on the phone. And then when she comes in, a lot of times, like, she'll come in and I'm like cooking or something and she'll want to have a conversation. And I got like some shit I'm watching on YouTube,
right,
or listening you in your to music. Mood, yeah. And I'm like, and she's like, oh, I want to come talk. And I'm just like, yo, like, I'm trying, like, I'm, my mind is not
vibing
here.
Vibing out right now.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Or she'll come in, I'm like watching some document about, I mean, some documentary about like how ICE, like, you know, kills immigrants. And she's like in the right. room trying to talk to me. And I'm like, yo, I'm trying to watch. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to watch this documentary. Like, let's not, like, we'll have this conversation at a different time.
It's a fucking cruel irony of having kids. Like, you birth this human and then you got to take care of them and you build like the strongest bond ever. And then they grow up and they're like their own motherfucker.
My son is 18 years old. He lives with me. I may have said 20 words to him this week.
Fuck.
Like, he comes home and goes in his room.
Yeah.
And he emerges. I go, yo, dinner's done. Yeah. And he comes out to eat and then he goes back and literally doesn't sit with me. Like, we don't have no kitchen table. I didn't grow up like that. Like, I didn't grow up with like sitting at a kitchen table and eating because my mom ate when she wanted to eat and she doesn't eat the same food I eat.
Right.
So like, we didn't sit down and have dinners together, me and her.
Right.
And there's nobody else to have them with because I was the only child. So, or she'd be out at work or something like that. And she, you know, so it wasn't a thing of like sit down and have family dinners.
Right.
So I never instilled that in my kids. Mm-hmm. So we don't have that when they're at my house. So he'll like, I have like a set of like a table with stools in the kitchen and like he'll eat there and just put YouTube on and eat and like, you know what I mean? Like, he was watching some old like Shane Mosley versus Mayweather on his phone
shit.
The other day.
Yeah.
And like, so I said to him, I was like, yo, check out Mickey Ward and Andy Garcia when they was going at it, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And like, that's all. He was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
And then like I went in the room, other room, ate, and he was in his room. Like, he just didn't want to, like, and I'm like, yo, I get it. I was at age one time.
Right.
Where like, I
do
didn't
not
want to
hang
no,
with your parents.
I don't want to hang with my parents. Like, he'll still go to the movies with me. And right. I consider that like a great honor and shit. Like, hell, you know what I mean? Because he don't want to do that shit no more.
I don't know if I don't have kids. I don't know if I have the strength to like
have that.
Oh man. Like, just thinking about
and,
like,
and to be
like
honest,
you don't
want to
hang out with me, bro.
You you have kids now, by the time they hit like that age, like my son's age, you're gonna be older.
Be old as shit.
And like, you'll be like, yo, I have all this wisdom to impart on you.
And you young and popping, you out doing shit. So it's
and
like
they
less
still don't give a fuck.
I'm gonna be an old fucking man, dog. Oh man.
He's gonna be so not related to you. You'll be like, oh son, can you come do this thing on the computer for? Oh,
do that shit. Oh man,
why you don't know how to do it?
My heart is like breaking right now thinking about that.
Although, like, no bullshit, my daughter legit had to show me how to do certain stuff on IG.
Oh yeah,
because like I ain't know, like, you know what I mean? Like,
and she just
that's
got
what
it.
She had. Like, they grow up with it, so they know it. You know what I mean?
We're gonna take a break real quick. We're gonna come back. We're gonna jump in. I want to talk about. The other day, I went on Twitter and I saw that Slick Rick was trending.
Yeah.
So, of course, I was immediately horrified.
Yeah, like something happened.
Right.
Yeah. He me-tooed or died. Right. Like,
no, please don't me-too Slick Rick. But Slick Rick's okay. XXL Magazine was asking folks who's the greatest storyteller in rap. So we're going to jump into a break and we're going to come back and talk about it.
Yep. That's what you call a tease.
There you go.
What do explorers, an Army officer, and a Minnesota insurance salesman have in common? They all wanted to be the first to reach the North Pole, but only one of them made it. I'm Kat Long, science editor at Mental Floss and host of the new podcast, The Quest for the North Pole, which dives into the centuries-long race to explore the Arctic, find the Northwest Passage, and conquer the top of the world. With a cast of daring adventurers and some pretty determined amateurs, the race to the pole reveals the human desire to solve mysteries of geography and the soul. We'll look at the important Arctic expeditions that filled the blank spaces on the map and recognize how indigenous people made them successful. We'll examine what pushed explorers to venture ever farther into the unknown and uncharted, and how the climate crisis is changing the Arctic today. Listen to The Quest for the North Pole every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, lovelies. This is Arden Marine, and you may know me from Chelsea Lately or Shameless, or more recently as Regina Sinclair on Insatiable on Netflix. I want to tell you about my podcast, Will You Accept This Rose, where we recap all the seasons of The Bachelor franchise, and we are very excited to talk about the new season of The Bachelor with Matt James. Each episode, we bring in amazing celebrity guests, and we have a bunch of amazing guests planned to cover this season with us, including Lance Bass, Ashley I from The Bachelor franchise, Padgett Brewster, Doug Benson, Jerry Traynor, Rob Benedict, Lauren Lapkus, Brian Safi, Ross Matthews, Kate Micucci, Scott Aukerman, Miles Gray, Lacey Mosley, Michelle Collins, and more. If you watch The Bachelor franchise, you're going to love hanging with us while we get into the hot details of the show. You may have other choices in Bachelor podcasts, but none that are this funny, and we are truly fans. Catch our episodes every Wednesday and listen to Will You Accept This Rose on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Join us on this love journey.
Yo, back in the building. So like I said before the break, I was on Twitter, saw that Slick Rick was trending. A lot of people were talking about Slick Rick because XXL had tweeted, what are some of the dopest storytellers in hip-hop history? So I just want to, I know you're a big fan of Slick Rick. I'm a big fucking fan of Slick Rick.
My favorite 80s MC, like period favorite 80s MC.
I was going to say he may be the closest, if we did have a top five, which we don't because top fives are lame. If we did have a top five collectively, he might be the closest to the top for both of us.
Yeah.
Like the most overlap.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You know what I mean? In an MC.
I almost guarantee you he's probably the only MC who overlaps on both our lists.
Right.
Like, if we did a favorite from every era, like, he would be, like, we start in, like, the 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s.
Right.
Like, he would probably be the only one who landed on both our lists. Because I can almost guarantee you ours is different in those the rest of the time.
Yeah. That might not be a bad idea for an episode.
Like, yeah.
I jokingly say, oh, top five is a lame. But, like, people like that stuff.
Yeah.
They like to debate it or whatever. So we may do... I've been feeling that we were going to do a top whatever. Maybe we would do it through eras.
Yeah, I think it's the best way to do it. Because it's really hard to compare eras. Like,
you got to consider, you know what I mean? Like, you got to consider what the styles were like, what, you know, was prioritized. I always talk about this with the priorities of an album. People will compare Jay-Z, somebody who came up in an era when classic albums were prioritized and having a big discography was prioritized. They'll compare that against somebody from like the early to mid 80s when those things weren't prioritized. Nah. You know what I mean?
They weren't a thing. Like a five mic album wasn't a thing. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? So when you go like, well, I mean, like, Paid in Full is this, that, and the third. It's like, yeah, but that wasn't, like, when they did it, they were just trying to make a dope album.
Yeah. And they, a lot of the early MCs, like the early generation, they were trying to replicate what happened in, like, a live context.
Yes.
So they were, it wasn't a studio art, really. People made records, but it was primarily a live art form. And it's interesting because in this whole the online, like, Twitter discussion about who the best storytellers are in rap, you see how it breaks down over generations. People in our age group, it's like Biggie, Slick Rick, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff. But younger people are like, you know, Kendrick, all of these, like newer MCs. I heard somebody say Tekashi is the best. The best storyteller in rap. You know what I mean?
I have never listened to enough Tekashi music to know.
Nah, I think they be because the nigga was lying about.
Oh, okay, yeah. He I was get, yeah. Lying about Definitely, being, he's the best storyteller about being of all a thug. Time. Was he roping in like Jim Jones and all bunch of people? So, yeah.
Yeah, he. Yeah. God damn it. So, I'm curious as to like. Like, who would you throw in the mix? If we talking about MCs who really do it and get busy with, like, the storytelling.
Of course, Slick Rick. I think Kendrick's really good.
Kendrick, the joint at the end of Damn, the Duckworth joint?
Yeah.
Where he, like, tells the whole story and then...
That shit is dope.
The plot twist at the end that he's talking about his pops and Top Dog?
Yeah.
That, dog. Like, that shit, you know...
You know, I like motherfuckers be talking about like the Immortal Technique song where he ends up like raping his own mom or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And niggas like their mind was blown. Yeah. My mind was blown at the end of that Duckworth joint.
Yeah.
The first time I listened to it, I was like, oh, this dude is a master.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jay-Z's a decent storyteller. It's not his forte, but he is a decent story. Because Meet the Parents is a ridiculous song. And if you go that he doesn't write anything, if that's all true, which has like been co-signed by a lot of people, the ability to keep all that in your head and straight,
yeah,
like is a really difficult thing. No, honestly though, Biggie is an amazing storyteller.
Biggie, I got a story to tell. It's such a good song. Because he don't even start it on some, like, straight narrative shit. He really opens it. Remember how Alfred Hitchcock used to, like, open, and he'd be like, and next we have a tale you know, morbid, macabre. Like, he would, like set it up a little bit. When he comes in, like, I kick flows for you, kick down doors for you, even left all my motherfucking holes for you. He, like, gives you, like, a little intro that's not even really connected to the narrative.
Nah, it's completely separate.
Yeah. He's, like, breaking the fourth wall in a way in a rap. You know what I mean? And, like, he, yeah, yo, even what's the joint? Warning.
Yeah.
Like Warning is the shit. I remember when Warning came out.
What you call it is a complete throwback to Slick is the motherfucking right. That joint is and cause he's switching his voice. Doing different voices, the same shit Slick used to do.
Yeah.
Like that is a complete throwback to like if Big was alive right now and you could ask him, he'd be like, oh yeah, that was my homage to Slick. Like
definitely that's Slick a Slick Rick. That shit, Give Me the Loot.
Yeah, Give Me the Loot. I couldn't think of the song for
time for a second. It really gives me like it's like a perverse version of Children's Story.
Yeah.
Like a fucked up version.
It's like stash it in I don't give a pregnant bitches too. Give me that number one mom pregnant. Like, all that shit. I don't fuck if she's pregnant. Like, give me that number one mom pendant. Like, all that shit. Like, dog, that shit is, it's all a story and he's switching the voice up. Yeah. Like, honestly, Slick might, Big might be the best at that.
Because
he was so good lyrically too.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
He didn't have a lot of time with us. You know what I mean? Didn't have a lot of music. The joint. What's the one? I think Somebody Got to Die.
Yeah.
We talking about his man got hit up and they got a ride out. Like, that's just like a movie.
Yeah.
Like, you be sitting there like, you like biting your nails like, damn, what's going to happen next? You know what I mean?
Nas is a decent storyteller.
Second Childhood.
The second verse to the intro to Illmatic.
It
was written. The Joel premiere. I can't think of the fucking name of it right
now. Not the New York State of Mind part two.
No. Where he's like, got shot, went to see the bull outside the joint and all that. Yeah, like all that. Like,
yeah,
really good storyteller.
Yeah.
Yo.
That's the joint. Even like a novelty song, quote unquote. Like
The Message.
The Message. Yeah, yeah, yeah. the Rewind joint.
Yeah.
Where he's like telling it and then telling shit backwards. Mm-hmm. Nas is good for that, like the novelty shit.
Yeah.
Little novelty songs.
Because I Gave You Power as a story.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, he just needed to make sure you knew it was a song about a gun.
He had to let you know. He's like, hold up, y'all. Hold up. See, and that's crazy because that's the difference between Big with I Got a Story to Tell and Nas with
that's
I Gave You Power.
Trusting your audience.
Right.
It's just trusting your audience to know. Like,
Biggie gave us a little setup, but he didn't break the fourth wall in the sense of being like, hold up, chill.
Yeah.
You know this rap that I'm about to kick right now? It's about a gun, y'all.
Yeah.
I'm a gun in this song. Like, Big didn't do that.
The cat that I'm really high on now is out of the UK, the dude Young's Teflon. Mm-hmm. He does an homage to I Gave You Power, where he's talking about being a gun. Doesn't bother to say that I'm a gun in the song. He makes it, you know, more evident. But he has another song called Aaliyah, where it's one dude is like, you know, he grew up with bread and the other dude grew up in the blocks. Aaliyah's brother grew up in the blocks and so did Aaliyah. And like, he grew up with bread. He never needed to like sell drugs or nothing. He did it because he wanted to be down.
Right. And then like they kid, he hooks up with the chick Aaliyah, and her brother comes home from jail, and like she gets kidnapped because the boy comes home from jail and owed money. So she gets kidnapped, and so they go to war with the other boy.
Shit.
And like what he breaking it down is super dope. Like he's a really talented storyteller. Like, I think it's kind of fallen off a little in
people aren't doing it as much.
Yeah, I think it's kind of fallen off a little now.
Yeah.
But there's definitely some really super talented, like Kendrick we talked about, he's a super talented storyteller. I do think like in the 90s it kind of had its peak.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Outkast, both of them were really good storytellers.
Absolutely. The Day in the Life.
Yeah.
Andre joint.
Yeah.
Crazy.
The joint they did with Slick.
Right. Art of Storytelling.
Yeah, joint? Art of Storytelling. Then the other versions they have of it where he's talking about the joint they did with Cannon. And he's like, he's talking about, oh, I don't fuck. He was like, I wish you would have told me you had a dude. I don't fuck with chicks that's married or some shit. Like, like he be killing that joint, though.
Right.
Like, Andre is really good. And Big Boy is good. He's not as good as Drake.
Yeah, yeah. Big Boy, I think because his style is like a little more chaotic.
Yes, and it's
a
definitely.
Little, like almost surrealist in a way, like how he plays with words. It doesn't necessarily lend itself to like strict narrative writing.
Cooler than a polar bear's toenails.
Oh, hell. Like, yeah. Come on. You know what I mean? So Dre, I think because his style is a little bit more straightforward as an MC, it lends itself to...
Yeah, to storytelling, yeah.
It was interesting to me that when this whole discussion happened on Twitter about storytelling and rap, a lot of people brought up Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Who kind of gets forgotten really as an MC in general. We could talk a little bit about it later. We're not going to go like super into it, but I interviewed Raekwon this week.
Yes.
And we were basically just talking about like the ins and outs of like writing rhymes, and like I wanted to really dig into that part of his process. So he's like telling me stories about shit that he wrote, and he was talking about influences. And he said that when he was young, he said, I'll misquote, but to paraphrase, he said, I came up in the era of lyricists. He said, I came up in the era of Kane, Rakim, G-Rat. Oh, no, Kane, Rakim, Slick Rick, and Ice Cube. He made a point to mention Ice Cube.
Yeah, I don't think Cube gets the respect that he kind of deserves.
Yeah, you're rocking a Cube shirt right now.
Yeah, I'm rocking a Cube shirt right now. I don't think he gets the respect a lot of times.
No.
But, like, I mean, because even shit like No Vaseline has story elements to it.
Right. He definitely is going ham. I had that same thought, too.
Yeah.
He's going ham, and it's kind of like a story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In the form of a diss track.
Yeah.
You know?
I can guarantee you almost every verse that he's done on a really good song has an element of storytelling to it.
Right. The joint. I mean, today was a good day.
Today is a good day. It's a straight
whole
story.
Narrative. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know straight what I'm saying? Story. And it don't even really go nowhere.
Nah.
It's not like there's like a beginning, a middle, and then a resolution in the end.
Nah.
He's literally just, he keeps you engaged by just telling you about what his day was.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a mundane day.
Yeah. It's
no crazy
special.
Shit happens. Like, it's just.
He didn't even have to use his AK.
Come on. Come on. You know what I mean? He ain't get sweat from the cowards. You know what I mean?
Nah.
Police roll past him.
Yeah.
It's regular shit. But you listen to it, you wouldn't turn that record off in the middle.
Nah.
That beat come on and he start rhyming, you're in it until it's over. That's like a captivating storyteller.
Absolutely.
The joint that blew me away from him, I think it was the Bird in the Hand.
Mm-hmm.
That joint back in the day, like the joint where he is talking about like how he went from LA out to like wherever whatever state he was out of town and was like hustling and putting niggas down with like the dope game and the gang shit and all of that. I remember listening to that as a kid and I was like, oh, so that's how gangs
spread.
That's how they spread. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't even have thought that somebody would put that in a rhyme.
Yeah.
And the way that he did it, it was a personal story. Like, he, you know, it was like a narrative, but it was a narrative that reflected like a broader social phenomenon, like how gangs spread around. That's like genius shit that he did. You know what I mean? So Cube, I think that obviously Cube's like a movie star now. Yeah. You know what I mean? He did like the kids' movies and all of that shit. Niggas forget Cube might have been in, like, I'm gonna say 89, Cube might have been like the best MC in the world.
Yeah.
I'm saying the 89 to 90 when America's Most Wanted was really popping. Who was really out rhyming Cube? Maybe G-Rap?
Yeah.
Who was really out rhyming Cube then? You know what I mean? People forget that he was really one of the greatest MCs on the planet at a time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you got to remember, he was the one writing almost all the rhymes for NWA.
It's a lot of heavy lifting on your pen. You're writing for a whole group.
Yeah.
And then when, you know, Ren was writing too.
Ren wrote too. And, you know, there's some people that discredit him a little because he reached out for help to Dell and shit like that.
Right.
Later on.
He might have been putting Dell on, though.
But again,
you know what I mean?
I think a lot of people ignore the fact that there's a lot more ghostwriting in hip hop than anyone will ever admit.
And has been.
And has been for a very long time. So I think, people kind of forget about that. But, like, no, Cube is a master storyteller.
Oh, yeah.
Master
Cube's the shit. Like, you know, it's
Once Upon a Time in the Projects.
Come on. It made me feel good that a few folks had brought up Cube on the storytelling shit. But Cube, I mean, you know, he went to the East Coast and got, you know, the Bomb Squad and shit and put out one of the best records in the history of rap. You can never take that away from him.
Nah. I mean, another dude from a similar era who really doesn't ever get respect for being like a good MC is Will.
Right. Will Smith.
And I mean,
Fresh Prince.
Yeah. Like, and I know so many people know him from that, and they know, you know, he's the Fresh Prince, and then he's
Movie
Independence
star,
Day
Smith,
and Men in Black and shit like that. So people go like, you know, they remember the "We Are the Men in Black."
Right.
Like, they remember that in Wild Wild West and shit like that. And
whenever we talk about like Will Smith as a rapper, that's Lissa's point of reference.
Yes.
Is like Wild West and the Men in Black joint.
Yeah.
You know, Miami. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Get jiggy with it. All that
exactly,
whole,
that
you know, that millennium era.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't have like the storytelling, Will, but like, yeah, Night on,
Nightmare on My Street.
On My Street. Yeah. And then you have, what you call it?
Parents Just Don't Understand.
The joint, Get Down, that joint.
Brand New Funk.
Yeah. I mean, that whole joint is a story of him going to a party and rocking a party.
Right.
So, like, he
I didn't even think about that.
He had crazy ability.
That joint,
Brand New Funk, is, like, crazy lyrically, like, if you go listen to it. I mean, like, some people are like, oh, well, Nightmare on My Street is a little silly. And so
I think I could beat Mike Tyson.
I got beat Mike Tyson.
Which is a dope story. Like, it's fun, but it's a little corny.
And, like, Parents Just Don't Understand. The ability to put together a story in a rhyme and make shit sound good and not sound just dumb is a difficult skill.
Right.
It's why it isn't so transferable to every MC in the world.
Right. Yeah, a lot of motherfuckers can just rap. Like, in my MCing days, I was never, like, a strong storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That wasn't my style of rhyming.
No, when I did write rhymes and shit like that early on, and I was never great or anything. I was never, like, as good as you were. But
I don't know about that.
I couldn't tell stories. Like, I have that one song that's kind of a story joint that we did years ago.
Right.
And that's like the best attempt at making a song into a story.
Right.
And it was okay.
Yeah.
Like, and it's because doing songs like that is extremely difficult.
It's not no joke.
And it's why I also think it lends to people who are very good lyrically, because you have to find ways to say shit and make it sound good.
Yeah. It's got to be clever.
Yeah. So I think that's why in an age where we're like, a lot of shit is melody and being melodic, even in your style,
yeah,
that we don't have as many storytellers nowadays.
Right. I appreciate that Meek does it. Meek, for real, Meek's greatest song or like most impactful song, Dreams and Nightmares intro,
yeah,
is a narrative. Essentially,
yeah.
He's telling you how he came from here to there. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And made his come up. The joint, was it the Tony story?
Yeah.
With like the multiple parts and shit. Yep. I do see cats in like the street lane getting back to that, because it's a boy, I can't think of his name. It's a boy on Instagram. Somebody like hit me up and like remind me of his brother's name. But he has a whole Instagram series. Last time I checked, he was on like part 9 or part 10. It's the same beat. He be in his car and he tells a story about this joint that he met and this whole crazy adventure. And that shit is like a super detail. It's like,
yeah.
it's like a hood IG version of like Trapped in the Closet.
Yeah.
Where it's like multiple stories, but he like barring it down. You know what I mean?
And see, a song like, I always thought Trapped in the Closet was corny because I thought it sounded corny.
Oh, yeah.
And it was absolutely. Just like, it was like, oh, it's this and that. I thought it was always corny because it wasn't a really good story. Like, yeah. It was...
shit was dumb, too.
Yeah, and so, like, I think that's an example of something that's kind of just whack, being a story. Like, you needed to add more things to it.
Right.
And I think Drake has decent ability in telling stories.
Hmm.
A lot of them are simp stories. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Marvin's Room is a story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know
what
I mean? Like, it's a story of him being a simp, but it's a story. Like,
I would tell you the story. I'm not going to sidebar too much, but I was DJing down north, and this is a while ago. It was like one of my, like, earlier like the movie party gigs that I was doing years ago. So I was down there DJing and my cousin had got locked up and he got out the Bing and he rolled up on me. I'm like mixing and shit, like people, you know, having fun. It's like a cookout kind of situation down north. And my cousin rolled up on me. He was like, yo, cuz, can you play me a song, like a request a song? I was like, what you want to hear, man? He was like, can you play Drake, Marvin's Room?
Like, that's a way to bring a party down, dog.
Dog, it's broad daylight outside in the summertime. Niggas got plates of ribs and shit, Coronas. You want me to play that shit? I said, Marvin's Room.
Are you drunk right now?
Right. Like, yo. I was like, bro, that song is depressing.
Yeah.
He's like, man, I like that jaw. And I was like, I shouldn't have acted like this. I was like, you like in Drake fan club or something?
That was the era where neither one of us were like big Drake fans.
Yeah, we weren't really rocking with it. We didn't see the light.
Nah, so it was definitely a time where it was just like, Marvin, are you serious?
I'm playing.
He was crying on the phone to some girl.
I'm playing like Steady B and shit. I'm playing like Glamorous Life, like cookout music.
Yeah.
Frankie Beverly and shit. I'm playing cookout music. You will hear that shit. It's just depressing.
Yeah, no, that's definitely one of those things where it's like, but I said, like, that's where he kind of, you know what I mean? His storytelling lends to that shit a lot more.
Right. That like, somber, understated tone. Yeah, absolutely.
That's where his storytelling ability lands.
Right.
But no, there's some dudes, younger dudes, who can do storytelling really well.
Yeah.
I wonder if the baby can. I don't have enough of his catalog, like, committed to memory to be like, oh, he does a really, but he's a talented young MC. Who can spit lyrics. Like, he can really spit.
Oh, yeah. He can rap. Cole can do stories.
Cole's
really good at stories.
Yeah. So there is dudes out there that can do stories and do them well.
I'm glad to see, because like one of the first, when I was a kid, when I started rhyming, like there were like categories. You had like, you know, like kicking knowledge songs.
Yeah.
You had girl songs. You had party songs. You had battle songs. And you had story songs. So there were like different categories. Like, oh, yo, I'm going to write a story joint. I'm going to write that. I'm glad to see that people are still interested in like the storytelling aspect of MCing. I mean, like a lot of the early like Jimmy Spicer, like the Super Rhymes joint where he's talking about, you know, being like fighting Dracula or being Superman or all of this other shit. Motherfuckers back in the day was telling stories in like their routines and all of that. So it's really something that's been with us since the start of this culture and this art form. And I'm glad to see, it made me hype to see like a lot of people of different generations in this shit just going in and like sharing like, oh, this joint or that, you know.
Because like G-Rap's a good storyteller.
Oh, yeah. Like a motherfucker.
But a guy who I would say is not the best would be Rakim.
Yeah, it's not really his.
It's not his lane. He's
What's the joint? Is Mahogany a story?
Mahogany's a story.
Mahogany's a story.
So he has the ability, but I think part of it is style wise. Rakim is so much like improvisational jazz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that's so much his style. Like that, following a linear story doesn't lend to his talent as an MC.
Right.
Because I think he limits himself when he does those songs. Cause like Paid in Full is essentially a story.
How about that?
Yeah. But it's like, you know, fish, which is my favorite dish. Yeah. Without like it's without money, it's still a wish. Like it's so limited in like
it ain't really how he can like.
No, when you hear Microphone Fiend and you hear Paid in Full, it's like, you know, lyrically it's not on the same caliber,
right?
And it's partially because I think his style lending to a story. But when we were kids, and even before, when we were really young in like the 80s, every album had a story song.
You had to have a story joint.
You know what I mean? So I think part of it was him being like, okay, we need a story type song on here. We'll do for the Paid in Full joint, because it isn't even like a thing where Big can do like a three verse song, or Cube is doing Good Day. It's three verses of a straight story.
Right.
Like this is like, oh, this is a minute 45 of a straight story. Right. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not breaking this into parts. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think certain dude's styles don't always lend to that. You know what I mean?
K-Solo, we're going to take a break, but K-Solo had a joint on his first album. It was, what was it called? Like Nightmares on Crack Street or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he wrote a song about a rhyme. He had like wrote a rhyme, and the rhyme came to life and started like killing people and shit, and was like running around town. I remember listening to that as a kid and being like, "Yo, this shit is wild, imaginative."
I remember
blew me away.
Because doesn't Special Ed have? He has like a song where he's like a special agent or some shit like that.
Oh
he?
Yeah, we're on a mission.
Yeah, we're on a mission. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Like, and I remember
I love that song when I was a kid. I would listen to that when we done.
But again, that's a thing of like, oh, every album has a song.
Gotta have a story,
like a story song. Like, so we'll do this one and we'll do that.
Yeah.
And you know, I loved On a Mission, but like if you go back and listen to it, it's not as good lyrically as other stuff that he does.
Right.
You know what I mean? But like you have you know who's actually really good too? Common's really good at storytelling.
Yes.
Common is excellent at storytelling.
What's the joint Before You Lock My Love Away?
Oh, Testify.
Yeah. Wasn't that a story?
Yes. It's a story.
Yeah, yeah.
Testify is a story. Retrospect for Life is kind of a story.
Right. Right.
What's the other joint with Q-Tip on the hook? Where he's talking about like his homie robbed him while he was away on tour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't remember the name of that joint.
Yeah.
What's the joint where they niggas robbed his grandma?
Yeah. That joint.
Shit, yeah.
Fucking I Used to Love Her is essentially a story.
He's telling the story of hip hop. Absolutely a story.
Like I think neither one of us even thought about this earlier. Common is like
he's an elite storyteller.
He's an elite storyteller.
We gotta take a break, but and we're gonna get into some new music
for the week.
That we gotta get out of here. But we gotta throw up like some of the songs that we've talked
about.
Oh
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like tweet it out so folks can like talk, you know what I mean, about some of their like favorite storytelling.
Absolutely.
Storytelling joints. But yeah, we're gonna take a break and then we're gonna get back with some new music.
Who is David Bowie? Well, that depends on who you ask. Or which record you play. To some, he's Ziggy Stardust. To others, the Thin White Duke. Or Major Tom. But who is David Bowie really? To answer that question, we'll have to go off the record. My name is Jordan Runtog, and I'm the host of Off the Record, a new music biography podcast from iHeartRadio. Off the Record goes beyond the songs and into the hearts and minds of rock's greatest legends. Every season profiles one classic artist, taking listeners on a wild ride through their extraordinary career. The first season examines the life, or rather lives, of David Bowie. Each episode of the 11-part audio event tells the story of one of his iconic personas. Together, these faces form an intimate portrait of one of the 20th century's most influential figures. So who was David Bowie? Tune in to Off the Record to find out. Listen and follow on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And we're back. So we don't have any like albums. Yeah, full albums that we wanted to talk about, but we want to talk about some new music. For folks who are new to listening to Serious Rap Shit, usually at the end of the show, we wrap up and talk about like whatever new music
yes.
we've been listening to. This record, shout out to my man Alap, dope DJ based mm-hmm. out of Harlem. Shout out to him and his wife, Alex. Real good homies of the show. Alap put me on to this dude, Kemba, who's from the Bronx.
I saw this at first, was like, yo, Kemba Walker.
Kemba
like,
Walker, out here
got some music?
Right. But different dude. This cat, his name is Kemba, and this song's a couple months old, but it's new to me. Yeah. It's called Nobody I Can Trust.
Okay.
Fucking fire, dog.
Dope.
Yeah, yo. And I'll the video is wild.
Really?
The video, it kind of reminds you, he's in the video, he's working at like a diner kind of mm-hmm. thing. And most of the patrons are white. Kemba's a black dude. And you see like the tension that like white people are, you know, feel around him and that he feels, you know, being around these folks. And basically, the video kind of gives me like Happy Days feelings, like that okay. 50s kind of vibe, but it also has like this real dark, like racial undertone. You see like the cops like beating black people.
Ah, where
you see everything looks like happy and shiny.
The only reference for me, like I didn't really watch Happy Days when we was kids.
Right.
Buddy Holly song from Weezer. That's my reference to Happy Days.
Yeah, it has like that 50s like mm-hmm. suburban yeah, Americana yeah. feel, but like this dark like racial undertone Word. To it. And it's bugged out at the end of the video. He gets accused basically of breaking into somebody's car. And like all the white people in the town are chasing him, and he's like running like, you know, it's like some shit out of a horror film. He's
yeah.
like clearly terrified, and he hides behind a tree, and he sees like a brother. The brother's the milkman,
yeah,
like delivering the milk, and him and the brother like make eye contact, and then the brother goes, "He's over here." And then they chase him down, and it like fades to black as they're chasing him. It's really, it gives you like a chill.
Yeah,
the video is one of the dopest videos I've seen in the past year, and the song is dope. I've checked out a couple of his other tunes that are really dope. He's like the shit,
yeah.
And I think I want to say he was down with Rebel Diaz, who was like a political group out of the Bronx.
Okay.
A few years ago. So yeah, he's like really like somebody that I'm gonna be checking for from Word. Here on out.
Yeah, I'm gonna definitely check it out.
Yeah.
Also we both checked out the new joint with Drake and Future.
Drake and Future back again.
They got a time to be alive part two with hit right now.
If they do it, we finna do a whole episode.
Cause I'm gonna be honest with you. Future does supposedly have a new album. He dropped the track listing for the album.
Yeah, yeah.
It's self-titled part two.
Right.
A few years ago, he did the self-titled joint, and they did Hendrix.
Mm-hmm.
It's the supposedly self-titled part two. And there is a song with Drake on it, but it's also supposed to be featuring Rihanna, and that's not the name of this is not the name of that song. So I was when I saw this at first, I was like, oh, is that the one there? Then I was like, no, that's not. Right. But they dropped a video for it as well today.
Life is good.
Life is good. Yeah, it's yeah. It, I like it. I think it's really dope.
Yeah.
I love these two dudes collaborating. So
them, yo, you know, Drake is absolutely on some like Jack and Nigga swagger type shit. Absolutely. That being said, him and Future, dynamite.
Yeah.
Him and Meek, dynamite.
Yeah. I would love a Meek and Drake collab.
We might have to start a petition, yo.
Yeah.
I know, you know, we got some homies. Shout out to Rhythm. Shout out to Kerwin. We got some homies that are real good
Vision
fans.
Too. Yeah, yeah.
Real good friends of the podcast who are not fans of Drake. You know, we love y'all, but, you know, me and Josh rock with you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He jacket nigga swagger. He even, when I was watching a video of Life is Good, it's two young brothers that's from Philly, Drew Boy and King Dre.
Mm-hmm.
And they be rhyming, and they be like, is anything less than an eighth hit the scale? They be doing, like, the little viral videos, and, like, Drew Boy be rhyming, and Dre be doing, like, the little bop in the background. It's one scene in this joint where the Future is going in and Drake is doing a little bop on the side. I'm like, yo, I know they took that from them young boys. I know they took that. They from Uptown too. Shout out Uptown. They took that shit from Drew Boy and King Dre. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it's the song overall. I fuck with it. Drake's part, you know, he doing like little singing shit,
yeah,
little talking and shit. And then the beat switch up. And Future come on, Future part is crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm not even, you know, I'm not Future Hive. Shout out to the Future Hive. Shout out to the homie Aria, who's Future Hive. I'm not Future Hive.
Yeah.
But I fuck with this shit. I fuck with it.
I love this record. I really do. It's really good. I love the video too. The video's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, the video there, it's like the theme is like life is good.
Yeah.
And they're working like at the Apple store.
Yeah.
See Drake and Future. And I think Yachty is in it. They're like in the Apple store working.
Yeah. Or they work as like garbage men.
Taking out the trash.
Yeah, they're working at like a fast food restaurant.
Yeah, but it's crazy because at one scene
21 Savage is in there too.
Right. Yeah. They're like talking about their dreams, like, yeah, you know, I'm a rap, and then you could direct, and then you do the videos, and then you see them on set, like, doing the video. It's real dope.
Yeah, I think it's dope. It's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I enjoy, because especially with a dude like Future, where it's like, that's not generally his thesis.
This shit's really depressing.
Yeah, a lot of it's about, like, being high on codeine and, like, being depressed.
This shit is really fun and lighthearted for him.
Yeah.
You know, you get to see kind of, like, a different side of Future.
Yeah, and I like Drake has had that wave before. Like, he's had Jay and Silent Bob in a video before.
He did do that.
So, like,
he did do that.
Like, I think he has more fun with that stuff. Like, even when Starter from the Bottom is a really fun video. Like, he does like these more fun videos. And like, I think he kind of got Future onto that wave. Just being like, yo, let's have fun to do this video. The song is fun and bright.
Right.
You know what I mean? Even though Future's talking about like having codeine in his bloodstream and shit.
He did say that. Yo, he did say that. I mean, you know, we've resolved that Future got issues.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I think he's severely depressed and is addressing it and self-medicating.
Right, and we're just like turning up to the songs. It's just like, nah, out.
Zanny and Percocet is a good song, man. Like, what do you want?
That's what niggas did with Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain was depressed as hell.
Yeah,
niggas was like,
he's singing about his sorrows, and everybody else was like, yo, let's get in a mosh pit.
Niggas was turning up the Kurt Cobain shit. But yeah, that shit, the Kemba joint, Nobody I Could Trust, really fucking dope. Future and Drake, you know what I mean? Life is Good is the shit. Yeah, it's I feel, you know, niggas used to like complain about hip hop and like music and shit, like some people still do, you know what I mean? I never feel at a loss for finding dope stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The mainstream is what the mainstream is, and it's always, you know, it's different. But like on some like local shit and some underground shit and in the mainstream, I'm overwhelmed with music. It's like it's almost too much.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I was on a path of like the early to mid 2000s where I was just like, yo, I don't really fuck with a lot of this shit.
That was like the Nelly era.
Yeah, like you know what I mean.
We wasn't fucking with Nelly.
That era where I was just like, I don't know about like hip hop. It's just like blah blah.
Right.
And so I missed like the Wayne wave when like Wayne was like the greatest MC in the world type shit. I missed that whole wave. Because I kind of just was removed from it. I would listen to whatever came on the radio. It was right. Like, I was starting to become a parent too. So, like, it was just like, yo, you didn't listen to hip hop in the crib. I got like a 3-year-old and a baby. Like, you know what I mean? I can't listen to a lot of dudes talk about selling drugs at this point.
Right,
like,
right.
That's just a mind state I had, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I slowed down my life. Like, I had stopped running the streets as much and shit like that.
Yeah.
So, like, I caught on that. So, that was, like, the first time it was, like, oh, now it's, like, no, there's plenty of good shit. And, like, especially once, like, now with the internet, though, there's plenty of great shit. You just got to go find it.
You can find anything.
Yeah.
I did a story.
Or listen to us, and we'll tell you about the good
shit.
We're
going to tell you what it is. Last year, I was listening to, I had heard maybe, like, one or two cats from Taiwan that were, like, really killing it on the beat shit. And I was, like, you know, like connected with a couple of cats on social media. I was like, oh, this is like a whole movement.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want to write an article. I did like months of research and interviewed people about, you know, what hip hop has been like in Taiwan since, you know, it first came over there or whatever. And put together a whole story with like recommendations of people to listen to all through the power of the internet.
I mean, we might have shot a documentary about hip hop in India and it's an evolution, but like
we might have did that and they stole it from us. I'm gonna edit that out.
Yeah.
But they did. So you know there's tools and there's avenues to find all kind of music.
Yeah. Listen, you wanna hear some really dope music right now? Go check out Stormzy and Wiley beefing with each other.
Yo. Stormzy is cooking this man.
Yeah, he's cooking him alive,
with a cup of tea. He barring this nigga down. We done. Five podcasts over. He barring this nigga down with a cup of tea in his hand while he rhyming in the video and styling on this nigga and talking about slapping his brother backstage at fucking the Glastonbury or whatever the fuck
said
it was. He
said no males in your family. He said all the males in your family is weaklings. Like... I beat
a nigga up. He said that shit about my family, dog. That shit is disrespectful. Yeah. I know niggas don't really know, you know, like the with the accents.
You don't know
what these niggas are saying. I know disrespect
exactly
when I hear it.
No, he said you had a movie of your mom's about the country and all the men in your families is weaklings. Like
he said, mad shit about that nigga mom, yo. Mad shit about his mom.
Yeah, it's. Dog, if you want to hear some beef that's actually dope, go check that out. That's a dope beef.
Hell yeah.
Listen, we rapping. Yo, don't forget we have the Abolish ICE t-shirts and hoodies are coming like in the next couple weeks. We'll have the hoodies up.
If you want to free children and you want to pull the jukes.
Yes.
You get these Abolish ICE hoodies that we about to drop.
Check it out on Incense Trap and Yoga. Shout out to the homie Rhythm. Plenty of other dope shit there. There's the Free the People shit. There's Stop Being Cops.
Come on.
There's a whole lot of shit that's straight on brand for us as well.
Mad dope shit.
I own several shirts and hoodies from them. From her, excuse me. And also, you buying black and supporting, you know, black business. Supporting a young woman, an entrepreneur. So definitely go check out Incense Trap and Yoga. You know, you can find us on all our social media spots.
We on Twitter. We on Facebook.
Yes.
We on Instagram.
Serious Rap Shit on all those places.
Come on.
We're individually on social media, but you don't got to do that.
Yeah, don't fuck with that.
But, no. I mean, you can find us everywhere. Also, rate and review us. As crazy as it sounds, it helps. It pushes us up the charts.
Come on.
So, rate and review us.
Don't you want your friends to know about this podcast?
Exactly. Share it. Also, like... The rate and review shit is right in your phone if you're using Apple. Right in your phone. So all you have to do is like scroll down and give us 5 stars.
Help us out.
You know what I mean? So do that. Find us on Apple Podcasts, iHeart. Obviously, you find us on iHeart Radio app. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You obviously find us there with our you know, with our peoples, iHeart Radio.
Shout out.
And then, you know, everywhere else podcasts are at, you can find us and, you know, fuck with us. Share us. Tell us. Tell your friends about us.
Yeah. We out here.
Yep. Peace.
Peace.
Serious Rapshit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
To some, he's Ziggy Stardust. To others, the Thin White Duke. Or Major Tom. But who is David Bowie really? To answer that, we'll have to go Off the Record. Off the Record is a new music biography podcast. Every season profiles one legendary artist. To start, we'll explore the faces of David Bowie. Each episode tells the story of one of his iconic personas. Together, they form an intimate portrait of the complex cultural giant. Listen and follow Off the Record on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
What do explorers, a former newspaper editor, and a Minnesota insurance salesman have in common? They all wanted to be the first to reach the North Pole. I'm Kat Long, science editor at Mental Floss and the host of The Quest for the North Pole, a new podcast launching January 15th about our insatiable desire to explore the mysteries of the Arctic and stand at the top of the world. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, but don't take our word for it. Listen to The Quest for the North Pole every Friday on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.